Hello.
Hello, good morning, afternoon, evening. I don't know what it is over there.
Afternoon, 3 p.m.
Welcome to Uva Ball Raw. I'm Gary Otto. We've got Uva Ball here with us, of course. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I think we did yesterday a nice show in the podcast.
The side scrollers, yes.
Yeah, so everybody can go on it. I hope also we have new fans for Uwe Boll Raw based on the show. And but first you have a thing with your cat, basically.
Yeah, I've been under a lot of stress. You can hear it in my voice. I'm just under so much stress right now because so basically what happened was when I worked at Universal, there was a guy that I worked with who was older and he got sick and he went into hospice care because he is dying. So he gave me his two cats to take care of. Now, one of the cats passed away already. And it did it out of nowhere. We don't know what caused it, but this cat, its breathing passage is suddenly very narrow, and it's having problems breathing. So, like, the cost of getting it fixed is so astronomical. And with everything that's been going on, not just the fact that it's Christmas, the fact that I have a wedding coming up, and I have to get dental work done too. All this other money, money, money shit. The cat like has to see a specialist to determine what is causing this, if it's allergies or genetic, and if we opt for surgery, the surgery would be like $5,000. You know what I mean? It's very expensive. Animal care is very expensive. There's only one hospital that'll do it. The hospital's like 2 hours away. I
But
got a doctor to.
is it clear that the cat needs surgery, or first you need to see the specialist and it's maybe there's another possibility, or what is the
Well, I've already taken the cat to the ER doctor, and that cost $700. But, the ER doctor gave the cat some x-rays and was able to give kind of his like opinion, but he can't really, because he's not a specialist, he doesn't know what the cause is. So what he did initially, we had her on prednisone for 2 days, but then I took her back in because she was still kind of struggling to breathe, and he gave her a shot of this 1 month like allergic steroidal replacement for it's like a long-term version of prednisone. And if it's allergies, we'll see in the next couple days if she shows any improvement. We're really guessing and hoping that that shot that I got will help take care of it. But if it is genetic or if it's any other cause that's not allergic, we'll probably know by Monday the 18th, at which point the cat will go. I mean, the specialist to go into the specialist is only $200. The problem is then they're going to say we need to take if they need to take any kind of extra tests or anything will cost more, and then that cost of the surgery. So like at that point, I would either get the surgery or consider putting the cat down.
How old is the cat?
Cat's only 2 years old.
Oh shit, yeah.
I know it's
I paid a specialist. So I'm already in the GoFundMe. So when you go to the specialist, that bill on that day is covered by me. So, and then I think we can do like a GoFundMe and let's see who else loves animals and comes in with maybe more money or some money, you know. And we said also like forever. If people put money in, I do a karaoke song. I hate it, as you know, but I will, or we can do personal cameos from Overball. Like, you know, I'm not on Cameo, but if that stupid, what is the guy they threw out of Congress, he said he made $500,000 on Cameo.
Dude, we can get you on Cameo. Cameo fucking put me on for some reason.
Now look, then you put me on Cameo and everything what I make there goes against the possible operation.
That's a great idea. Okay, cool.
List me as fast as possible and whatever it is, like happy birthdays or whatever, I will do it right away. And I think if you can go to the specialist, as I said, so that bill, even if he's doing x-rays there and the bill gets higher, it's $200, I will cover it. So we have already like a strategy forward here.
Great. That's great. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. And we have some fans like there's this guy who's a super fan, by the way, named Bill Williamson, Long Willie Johnson. He's got a stream online. Let's take a look really quick. Bill Williamson. He's going to do a live stream on Twitch.
On Twitter, I have a Bill Williamson on Twitter also.
Yeah, Long W. Johnson on Twitter. And he has a Twitch TV. It's twitch.tv/ Long William Johnson. And he is going to do a live stream. And he is going to try and get donations for the cat. He's very, very big fan. And you see that he has Bill Williamson as his icon. And he has you as Santa Claus as his icon on Twitter.
He has only 203 followers on Twitch, but he has other things going at the same time. And
hey, anything will help. I appreciate the support. That's really cool. And if more people could do stuff like that, that would be great.
How can they donate now? What is the name of the GoFundMe campaign site, or can you post it together with the new show, or what? How you do it? Like how can people reach you, or what email address they can send, PayPal or whatever?
Yeah, you know, I have a PayPal that you can send me money to. Let me see, what is the PayPal under? Give me one second. Hold on. But I know that the direct GoFundMe link is on Uva Ball Raw USA. It's like pinned at the top of the page. It says help Ashley survive a tracheal collapse. And if you search for if you go to the Twitter, you'll see it. Let's see what the...
And if you send me everything again, I can put it on my Facebook, I can put it on Twitter, I can put it on Instagram, you know, like stuff like this.
Yeah.
So I get it right away out because it's kind of urgent too, right? So it's nothing what we now can delay for next 4 months or something.
Yes. That's what I was trying to tell people, is that like her follow-up is on in 5 days on Monday the 18th. And then the specialist will be not too long after that. So let's try and get all the Uva Ball fans that we can together. If you love your pet, spare even $10 this Christmas and donate. Anything helps. $50, great. $100, great. And like Uva said, he'll do Cameo, and we'll do karaoke songs, and you guys can pick the song this time, which is great, you know. So
yeah. Yeah, so let's move this forward. And please donate.
In other news, let's go on to something else. What else is happening now?
I looked today up the huge Netflix released the actual success of 18,000 productions. It's an Excel sheet. You can see on the Netflix website, and a lot of productions they did were not so successful as I always thought. What was a very big surprise for me, I have to say.
What was a bomb?
I'm looking it up here right now. Let's see where.
Yeah.
Where I put it. For example, so I looked up first, like what like German shows like worked and what didn't work. And the biggest success, of course, was on position 151, the thing on the Western, All Quiet on the Western Front, what was nominated for 12 Oscars and whatever. It was a German production, but it was also an English co-production for $40 million. So that was a big hit from Germany, but most of the German productions over time basically did under 500,000 hours of views. So then I looked up stuff. Netflix put a lot of money in. Look at The Irishman, right? So The Irishman, and I give you first in retrospective, the biggest successes of Netflix. So The Night Agent, did you watch that?
I haven't seen it.
No, I watched it. Good crime show, right? Did 812 million hours viewed. That is the number one on Netflix of all times. And then you have Ginny and Georgia, The Glory, position three with 622 million. The Glory is a Korean or Japanese show. Already on so then position four, Wednesday. Then position five, kind of a Bridgerton. Position six, You. And then it goes with Outer Banks. Arnold Schwarzenegger's FUBAR is on position around 10 or 11 with 266 million hours. But in comparison to the number one, so The Night Agent was 812 million hours watched. The number two had only 665 million. So the Night Agent is by far the biggest success on Netflix. And when you go down to position basically 25, from 25 shows on downwards, you're already under 200 million hours. And of course, TV series getting easier in that list as individual films because you have 10 episodes. And if you watch 1 hour of 10 episodes, then it's already counted as an hour viewed. So of course, films have a harder time to sustain on a list like this. But look, there are the numbers I said. So The Irishman for $200 million produced. So what do you think how many hours The Irishman did? So The Night Agent did 812 million. So The Irishman, what do you think?
I don't know. That's a good question. Like, I kind of get a feeling that The Irishman didn't do that well.
Absolutely. It did only 28 million.
Oh, my God.
So think about that. There's 3% in comparison to The Night Agent. And then you remember the Army of the Dead, the Zack Snyder thing?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it did less. It did like 24 million. Think about that. I saw I thought that was that cost 250 million. I thought that was a mega hit, right? And I thought like, oh my fucking God, right? And so, and then it's interesting because when you go through the lists and you check who did under a million, like, and there are 18,000 productions in that list. So the total is 18,000. Wait, I tell you. So you have 18,210 productions on that list. And from the 18,000, there are under a million hours viewed. Wait here. Under a million hours viewed. You are like 10,000 of that productions are under a million hours viewed. And think about Netflix has hundreds of millions of subscribers. These are the worldwide numbers. And for this, I think a lot of the productions are actually bombs. So, and now you look into Rampage. Rampage did 3.8 million views, hours of views.
Oh, wow.
And how much they paid me for Rampage? 100,000 bucks.
Really?
Yeah. And think about they're spending 200 million for The Irishman, 200 million for Army of the Dead, and they don't even make 10 times the numbers. And like over 10,000 productions from them, where they spend millions for per production. Think about the multi-billion investments. And then they're buying Rampage, snapping it up, and it makes 3.8 million hours of views, what means basically 2.2 million people watched it in total on Netflix. And then they never give me a job, they never give me a production, they never do anything. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, Rampage is on position 4,246 of the all-time charts at Netflix from 18,200. And they're like, and they paid 100 grand, you know?
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's this. Netflix wants to like legitimize themselves as like a real Hollywood player. And the only way they can do this is by saying, oh, look, we've got Martin Scorsese and look, we've got all these big directors. And that, you know, it's their only way of legitimizing themselves. So they're pumping money out at a rate that is not sustainable. If I was a stockholder, I'd be really fucking pissed off, but I'm not. So.
Yeah. But of course, it's like, on the one hand, I'm very happy that Rampage did so good. You know, on the other hand, it only supports this, what I said the whole time, that the system is kind of, Trump would say, rigged, you know, where you feel like it's just bullshit. It's like they don't look into success, and then if you're successful or if you're good and people react to something positive, you get pushed forward. And it's very frustrating at the same time. And it brings me to this thing. So I got this week asked for the Newsweek to make a commentary, like a quick commentary about why are the studios not making money? Like, why they're all losing money, right? So, and I'm just reading it here, and I don't know if it's printed already or not, but I give a shit, so we can say it here in Overboard Raw, what I've wrote. So I will quick read it. The reason why the entertainment companies reporting losses is based on the failed idea that streaming will be or can be, for all of them, a cash cow. Instead, streaming destroyed the home video and theatrical business and cannot compensate these losses with just subscriber revenues. 10 years ago, the audience knew that if they don't watch a film first in the theater and or bought or rented a DVD or Blu-ray or watched it on pay-per-view, then they would have to wait over 6 months to watch it on HBO, Showtime, or other outlets. My $7 million film House of the Dead made $11 million box office, but also 28 million home video revenues. A DVD cost $1 to produce, but was sold for $14.99 in the stores like Best Buy and so on. The margin was huge, and that revenues saved a lot of films and kept the business going. The window when what was shown where was the key to make films work. All of this is over, and the only winner is Netflix, who gathered around the globe enough subscribers to make money. Only 10 movies a year make in theaters substantial profits. Most of them don't even recoup the release costs. Hundreds of films getting on screens, but only with the goal to gather some press for an Oscar run or to gain some traction to get more money for the streaming rights. At the same time, production costs getting higher and higher, and also stars getting paid in absurd amounts for TV series or straight to stream products, who after 3 weeks disappear forever. You know, and I think that summarizes the whole situation up, that the golden times where you really had to go to the movies because you know what gets released now, there will be no way that you will watch that film in the next 10 months anywhere on TV.
Yeah, like Disney Plus pulled that Willow TV show, the sequel to the Ron Howard 1988 film. And you can't get it on Blu-ray. You can't buy it anywhere but on like a bootleg. So like when they pull that shit, there has to be another option. That's the value of the physical media. But On the other end, I'd like to just comment that in people are fantasizing and romanticizing about the 80s and the 90s movies, like all of the diversity, all the different types of films that were produced in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s is because there was enough, like you say, to go around to all these different production companies that have since gone under because all the money is being pilfered just into the big boys that Netflix approves. Like you say, like Event Film is a true independent entity and it's not under Netflix's good graces. So we don't even get considered, which is bullshit. So like you'd think you look at Netflix and you look at all these production companies and you think, oh, wow, this is so diverse. But there's so many that are left out of that stratosphere. There's so many production companies that are not considered and don't without that kind of financial support will go belly up and you won't see all those different types of films. Like you, for example, produce films that nobody else will produce, nobody else will touch. And I think that diversity should be cherished and valued.
Yeah, and as I said yesterday in the podcast yesterday also, it's this kind of like, think about like Ridley Scott with Napoleon now, $200 million production.
Yes.
85 years old. 85 years old Martin Scorsese, Flowers of the Moon or whatever the name was, $200 million. Before that, Irishman, $200 million. You could also make $102 million genre horror action films out of it. You give 100 people jobs. You give 100 crews jobs, 100 way more actors a job, you know, and you would have from the 100 films produced, especially a company like Netflix who needs product nonstop new, I tell you 10 will be the new Halloween of it. 10 will be the new Saw. 10 will be, you know, like from that 100 films, there will be 10 new franchises coming out of it. And because also you could see like young directors, how they came into the business. Look, one of the best films like Christopher Nolan and David Fincher, this kind of directors was like whatever films like Memento, films like Usual Suspect, like this kind of films, the very early films they did, they were already very, very good and masterpieces, you know, and they would never did that in the current climate.
Yeah.
Could never maybe made a film if nobody took a chance of them. And why these films existed at that point, they started to exist only because there was a DVD business, there was a rental business, there was a blockbuster existing. That is why you could gamble on films like this. And that is why that directors turned out big, even Ridley Scott in the beginning or Martin Scorsese, because there was video rental, like A Taxi Driver or this kind of films, or Ridley Scott, The Duelist or whatever the early stuff they started. Without this DVD home video market, all that films would never got made. So now you are only get made if an algorithm in a huge Amazon, Apple, whatever, data-driven, AI-driven technology company.
Mm-hmm.
You, right? So, and that is the thing. It's an almost insane situation because the streaming indirectly omitted the fair competition. A lot of film turned into Evil Dead, whatever, all that stuff, Dawn of the Dead, the George R. Romero career. Why it was so big was the home video market. It was not the theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So and I think that is a very dangerous situation now that they made the decision. And I mean, Apple was from the beginning on like this. They're only betting on big stars. They don't produce so much. You know, but I always felt like, why is Netflix not going rogue? Why is Netflix not going more genre, harder, more R-rated stuff? And but now Netflix also goes, like, they want to get the Oscars, they want to get the Golden Globes, so they're going more and more into drama, what everybody else is doing. So, yeah. So
it's a sad time. You know, I feel like the market is shrinking, you know?
Yeah, but look, I said to Netflix, nobody answered my email, but I said, look, take my film first shift, right? And if it doesn't make the numbers, I have to put it out there that it's like in the new releases, you know, for like 10 days, standing there in new releases. If it doesn't make more as the average of all that productions, it's free of charge. But if it makes more as the average, right? If it makes like 20 million hours or more, I get the money to do the TV series first shift. That would be fair. That would be also motivational for private investors to go more into films again, to make more films happen or TV series happen. You know, but stuff like this doesn't happen. And I think it's sad that it doesn't happen because it destroys the market. It destroys free, you know, like this kind of independent spirit making films or attracting investors to say, I take a gamble on a film. How can you take a gamble in today's time? It's almost idiotic to invest a dollar in any film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough time, my friend. Maybe other streamers besides Netflix might be interested in a first shift TV show, but they're probably going to want to see the numbers of how the movie does first, I'm going to guess. So,
Yeah. But I mean, it's just like I Netflix comes from the home video market. They were the home of genre and action and horror and thriller before, and they're moving slowly away from it. And I think it's sad that a lot of genres are getting now like a hard time to exist, basically.
Yeah. And you know something? You mentioned franchises and a lot of people leaning on franchises now moving forward. Why don't you do something like make a Seed reboot or sequel or something? Because you're sitting on so many franchises, I feel. And you own the rights to Seed, right?
Yeah. Seed, for example, Rampage.
Yeah. And Rampage, we already have great ideas for. I think you're sitting on a lot of great potential reboot or soft sequels. Assault on Wall Street is another great one. These are things that we should like tap into and exploit. I hate to say it. And try and make more, try and do something with it.
No, I not disagree, right? So, for example, I think also if you would make now another House of the Dead.
Yes.
You know, and I would bet, and I would offer it Netflix right now here per Overball Raw, maybe they listen to it. I would do House of the Dead, the new one, for free, and I get only paid if it makes over 50 million hours.
I think it would. House of the Dead is very popular even to this day, you know?
It totally would. And it's a safe bet, right? So, I think it's very important to that Netflix keeps the doors open for like real entrepreneurs like me who are able to take a risk, who are able to move forward with productions and go in a risk. But instead, right now, only people, they would never put a penny of their own money in the film. You know, they would never do this. They getting all the jobs from the streamers. And it's ridiculous. Because the real film freaks like me, the real people who are totally into it with heart and soul, with their existence, and not have any like support.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, but who knows? We will see in what way it all develops.
Yeah. Maybe if more people out there tweeted at Netflix, you know, that to let Uwe Boll make a show.
Yeah, maybe, like a Rampage TV series, like recreate Rampage, make it new, make it actual about the political situation right now, right? And then we do a total Rampage TV series and not a we don't try to continue with Rampage 4. We do a new one, a totally different one, but in the same kind of spirit.
Well, there is ways that we could continue on, but it would be something like his son or something. But that seems a little ridiculous. You know what I mean?
That is what I felt. That would feel ridiculous. Better is to make something based on the political landscape right now.
Or somebody who's inspired by what happened in the original series. So there's some kind of connection to the original one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's very loose, but like, yeah, like I said, I thought the idea of somebody who's like an assistant to a politician who just gets pushed too far after seeing so many raw deals and dirty deeds, they've been quiet. They're like a stenographer or something. And then they get inspired by the previous films to take action because they can't sit on it any longer or something like that. Maybe it could even be a woman. You know what I mean? Like, that would be exciting. But, you know, this is all hearsay. I'm just shooting ideas.
Why not? Why not? Yeah, so let's wrap it up for today. Let's get that money coming in for the cat and send me all the links I should post, and everybody will listen to this, like, go in contact to Gary, like, give him some money. And as I said, the specialist appointment you can book right now, and then we go from there. And get me on Cameo, and we make something happen there too.
Yeah, I'm gonna help you with Cameo, and guys, we'll post all these links. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Please share the show and share and donate to the cat, to the beautiful animal Ashley, and we will see you next time, my friends.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Ja, Blut, dürstiger Antisemit. Und die sagen dann immer, oh, da habe ich doch nichts dagegen und ich bin doch nicht und da. Ich kenne das alles.